Good morning. Today, as we said, is the Feast of the Holy Family. As we focus on the Feast of the Holy Family, if you go and you spend time in our Bread of Life Chapel, the Eucharistic Chapel, which I hope everybody's been there. But I know that's not a true thing. If you have not been in our chapel yet, don't go home today until you go next door and at least pop your head in there. He's been there for 4 years. You should have been there at least once. So, if you haven't been there, get over there after Mass, he said gently, kindly, and compassionately. Now, if you ever sit there and go in that chapel, when you look at the tabernacle is the tabernacle of the Holy Family. And it shows the two families of God, if you will. It's one family, but the two representations. The first, you see the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then, under that, you see Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Joseph and Mary and Jesus between them, Jesus is a boy and walking with him. And often as I spend time in the chapel, especially in the middle of the night, it's so beautiful to sit there and think, this is the family, and the reason I got that tabernacle was on purpose for the family, for the Holy Family, to remind us and to give us an example. And I think there's many examples the Holy Family gives us. And I think the primary example, if you were to sit there and look at the Holy Family's life, the primary example they would give us is they were a family of prayer. Huh? You know that they prayed. Jesus, who is God, is his humanity, would spend the whole night in prayer. So if anything was happening at the Holy Family's house, it was a house and a family of prayer. And so as we take the Holy Family as our example to teach us how to live, the question we have to ask ourselves today on the Feast of the Holy Family is your family known as a family of prayer? Is your family known as a family of prayer? Huh? Because that's a bit, if I ask you if your family known as a family of love, you'd say, of course, Father. Is your family known as a family of respect? Of course, Father. Is your family known as a family of prayer? We pray. We go to church together. That's nice. But you have a prayer time as family. And first, let's begin with the couple. And as a couple, do you pray together as a couple? You know, yesterday I had two weddings. And I do lots of weddings. And I'm usually preparing people, especially the younger people, and we're getting there and they have to go through the three things with me, those poor people. I always sit there and say, when they go through the focus exam, part of the stuff is your spiritual life. Are you comfortable spiritually asking your partner to pray with you? And so I sit there and I ask them, do you pray with each other? And I think in all these 18 years of asking people, I will bet you only 2% have said yes. Two. And it's average 25 a year, about, so 25, so you figure out the things. How many Catholic couples pray with each other? And I say, well, I want you to start. And they go, oh dear. You know, Father, you have not a clue what it is. You're a celibate. What the heck do you know about being, don't you ever get that? You know, priests can't do marriage counseling because what do they know? They don't know squat. Shut up. You know, these people there sit there and, oh, they don't know anything. Shut up. I'm in relationship too. I have a family too, believe it or not. I was with them at Christmas. And we prayed together. Priests don't just come out of boxes. We sit there and we come from a family. So I have something to say about a family. And so the first thing I always think it's so sad that I as a priest am more intimate a lot of times with wives and husbands than they are with each other. Why? Because I see their soul. And they'll share that with me because I'm the priest. And I'll say, do you ever share your soul with your spouse? Oh, no, Father. You know, I think religion is a private thing. And what are your other sins? Religion is not a private thing. Absolutely not. Or if it was a private thing, you're wasting your time here today because this is not a private experience. Religion is a personal thing, but religion means nothing. It's about relationship. Huh? It's a relationship, and there's no private relationships. All relationships are public. So let's go back. Do you pray with your spouse? And if you do not, well, you know what happens on Tuesday. What it was Tuesday? It's New Year's. I'll give you something to do for New Year's. Instead of, I'm going to lose 30 pounds this year. Why don't you sit there and grow in your spiritual life? By beginning to pray with your spouse if you don't already pray your spouse. Now, some of you say, Father, you know, I'm not very comfortable with this kind of stuff. And your point? Like, I'm supposed to sit there and say, oh, well, if you're not comfortable, that's okay, yeah. It's time to grow. It's time to get stretched. It's time to sit there and be a man or be a woman and say, as a family, beginning with each other, we need to start praying with each other. So you can sit there and see the mystery. You know, some people, as that people come in and they've been married for a while, they get bored with each other. If a couple is bored with each other, I will tell you, first and foremost, they do not pray with each other. Because now, if they pray with each other, life is always a mystery. Because when you see a soul is infinite. It's eternal. There's always more. You will never get to know yourself or ever get to know another fully if you look into their soul. So when you share your soul with each other, you see mystery always. You can never be bored. But if you just reduce yourself to your time together, and, oh, I know their personality, you know, we've been together forever, I know all about them, you have reduced your marriage to nothingness. It's much deeper. There's always a mystery. And so how to spark that spark? Pray. And a good way to do it at first, because if you're not comfortable with this, hold hands and say, Our Father. It's not my Father, it's our Father. Before you go to bed tonight, every night you and your spouse get together, come on and say, Our Father. Oh, that'd be so hard. Shut up. It would not be so hard. It's a priority. Of course you could do that. And then as you grow, you sit there and you learn, you who are men, to pray with your wife. Lord God, the universe, you are present here, and I ask you to bless my wife, to embrace my wife, to help her know I'm here for her, to help her to know that you're always there for her, to help her to know that it's okay, and I'll appreciate everything she does for me and the children. And then your wife sits there and goes to the husband, listen, I want you to go, Father God, the universe, I ask you to bless my husband. He works so hard. He tries his best. Help him and strengthen him so he can be the father of this family. And you start doing that with each other. You have that spiritual bond. Because until you have a spiritual bond, there's always loneliness. I promise. So you have that spiritual bond as a couple. On my marital tape, on my tape on marriage, on my tape on the truth, and when I'm doing counseling to preparing couple for marriage, I say, what I want you to do is I want you to pray before you have physical intimacy. That's the what we'll call it here at this Mass. You can fill in the blank what that means for the children, huh? But that physical intimacy, before you have physical intimacy, I would like you to pray with each other. And again, dismissing the priest, he's a celibate. Boy, and the one guy was least honest with me and said, oh, Father, that would kill the moment, don't you think? Quack! It'd kill the moment. If you think it'd kill the moment, you don't know what physical intimacy is, and you don't know what prayer is. It'll make it more intense. Well, that's nice for a celibate to say, Father. I had a guy listen to my truth tape, and he heard me talk about this. I say it a little bit more explicit on the truth tape, truth CD, and he thought, boy, Father's not married, you can tell. And then he thought, so, you know, him and his wife listened to it together, and they sat there, and he looked at her, and he says, you want to try it? And they tried it. Could you imagine? It didn't kill the moment. He called me on the telephone. He's from Cleveland. Never met the man before, maybe once. He called me on the phone. He goes, Father, that was the greatest intimacy we ever had. Well, thank you for sharing. But the reality is, here they are, and if you haven't, you got to try it. If you haven't tried it, instead of dismissing Father, say, okay, we'll try it once. Once. And see what happens. If you get intimately spiritually first, physical intimacy is more intense, I've heard. So, that reality. The second thing you gotta do is you gotta pray with each other as a family. Do you have daily prayer time as a family? Again, you can do it as simple as saying an Our Father together. Some people say a rosary together. Remember Father Payton from years ago? Father Payton used to say the family that prays together stays together. And again, when you do that, do not make it such a burden for your children, or they will learn to hate God. You will come here, we're going to say the rosary, and you're going to like it. And then as soon as they're 18, they are going to say, Mom and Dad, we're nuts. We're never going to do that stuff again. You've got to make an experience of love when they're before the God of the universe. The God of the universe wants intimacy with us. Intimacy means into me see. Then we come before the God of the universe in prayer, we need to look into the beauty of God, and God looks into us. And that's why we pray with each other. The God of the universe lets us see into each other intimately. Intimately. So you can either say a rosary together, you can sit there and read a passage of the Bible, and then talk about it. You can sit there and do something like they have those family reflections, daily reflections. There's a lot on the internet for that. And you come together 5 minutes a day. And if you want it to be a great experience, don't just pray.
But that's what we do. We pray. Kneel down, say the rosary.
And they do it and they go, okay, can I leave now? Oh, that was the longest 20 minutes of my life. Or after you do that, then you practice intimacy. You make real what's happening between you and God with you and your family. So after you're done praying with each other, you go to each of your children, you go to your spouse, and you look at them together and say, how are you? And you listen to each member of the family every day. You listen to each other. You find out how they're doing inside. It takes 5-10 minutes. If you have bigger families, oh, it might take 20. But you'll never regret that. If you really sit there and you're praying to God, the intimacy with God, and then you're praying as a family, and then you're being intimate with each other by asking each other every day after prayer, how you doing? Are you okay? What's going on inside? And if you just put that, it's a ritual. Huh? All rituals can bring us together if they're good rituals. That's what makes us family. What makes us a family here? The ritual of the Mass. We do it every week. We come together, this is what we do. Have a ritual of prayer in your family. And then we just don't celebrate the Holy Family here in a tabernacle 2,000 years ago. We celebrate the Holy Families of St. Joseph Church, Bread of Life Community, of all the people that listen to us. We celebrate the Holy Families because of the example of the Holy Family. Got it? Get it? Now I want to know, are you going to do it? Yeah, and Happy has said, listen to the priest. At least try it. If you don't try it, you're being disobedient. Just a thought. May you know his love today and forever. Amen.